Morning, once again. If you take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be preaching from that this morning. We've been preaching through the book of Ephesians when I'm here. But before we read that, I'd like to just read a passage to encourage you. I know the church has been through a lot of hard times in the past year. Still waiting to call a pastor. And I can just sense there's some discouragement. I just want to just read this passage that Paul wrote to his church in Thessalonica to encourage them. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Nashua, in southern New Hampshire. In Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from a wrath to come. Now, if you'd stand and let's read from Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 14. Through verse 21. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You may be seated. Our Father and our God, as we open this passage today, may you open our hearts to hear it. May you open our hearts to receive it. May you open our hearts to live it. If there be any here that do not know you, may you open their heart to the gospel, granting a new heart, true repentance, and saving faith through the vicarious work of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is the fifth time Paul has used this word walk in chapters 4 and 5. In chapter 4, verse 12, 1 and 2, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. Chapter 4, verse 17, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And chapter 5, verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In this passage, Paul admonishes us to look carefully then how you walk. If you look at the verse just before that, contrast that with awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Instead of sleeping, we are to be alive and walking in Christ. And he gives four commands here. I'm sorry that your bulletin only says three, but it's actually four. You'll get a little extra for your tithe this week. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Secondly, look carefully then how you walk, making the best use of the time. Third, look carefully then how you walk, understand what the will of the Lord is. And number four, look carefully then how you walk, be filled with the Spirit. Remember, these are apostolic directives from one ordained by Christ. These are not suggestions. They're not, oh, I think if you do this, you might have a happy, fulfilled, prosperous life. That's not what Paul is all about. These are giving for God's glory, for the growth and health of the body of Christ, and for our growth and sanctification in Christ. And as we open up the word to what God has to say, look for declarative words. Look for words that join thoughts. Look for commands and principles to follow. Look for contrast of ideas or thoughts. There's a lot in this passage. This is a lifelong pursuit, as we've said, about so many passages in Scripture. This isn't a one and done. We're going to catch it, understand it, and apply it instantly to our lives. It'll be a hard road to hoe. And I'm just giving sort of a, like in the past, so often a 35,000 foot view, just glossing over. But there's a lot to work out in your own salvation, fear and trembling. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. This is not a casual or a passing thought or suggestion. Paul references the need for wisdom in chapter 1, verse 8, chapter 1, verse 17, chapter 3, verse 10. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." There is a great need for wisdom in your life every day. Not just smarts, not just brain power, but true wisdom. And that wisdom can only come from God. He is the source of all wisdom. Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." I love that verse 7. I think we always stop and just read verses 5 and 6, but I think verse 7 is key. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn from evil. And this wisdom comes only by faith. And James points this out in his book, James 1, 5 and 6. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask with faith." Let him ask with faith. Just so important to have wisdom, especially I admonish you young people here today. Be asking God for that wisdom that only he can give you. Only ask for the wisdom God can give you. 1 Corinthians 10 admonishes us to remember those who have gone before us, men like Joseph, Nehemiah, Daniel, men of wisdom. "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Men like Joseph, Nehemiah, Daniel, looking forward to the Christ to come, walking in wisdom, walking in the word that God had promised them. But wisdom is not a one and done. Once you got it forever. Look at verse 5 in 1 Corinthians 10. "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." We can just as easily lose our wisdom. Think of men like Saul, Samson, Uzziah, Hezekiah, all men who started great, were godly men at one point, but lost that godly wisdom. I think the saddest of those is Solomon. We always think of Solomon and hold him up as this great man of wisdom, but also he had a great failing in his life. Foreign women turned his heart away from God, it says in 1 Kings 11, 1 through 8. Turned his heart away from God. He focused more on himself than the work of God. He spent 7 years building the temple. He spent 13 years indulging himself, building his own house. That's from 1 Kings 6, 38 to chapter 7, verse 1. He kind of just did what he wanted to do. In chapter 9, verse 1, all that Solomon desired to build, he built it. All that Solomon desired, he just built. He just did what he wanted to. And later in that chapter was warned by God the path that he was on. He had inappropriate dealings with a foreign king named Hiram. He offered to Hiram cities which were not his to give in return for services offered by Hiram. In chapter 9, verse 11, King Solomon gave to Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. Gave away 20 cities in the land of Galilee. Whose cities were they? It belonged to Solomon. Remember the Exodus and later the conquest of the promised land, and God divides the promised land into 12 sections and gives each section to a tribe in Israel. And at some point, Solomon just takes 20 of those cities in Galilee, which belonged to Naphtali, gave them away. Not a very wise man. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Look carefully then how you walk, making the best use of the time. Use your time wisely, it says in verse 16. Imitate Christ, Paul tells us in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And then Paul later writes to his young protege, Timothy, to pursue righteousness, pursue godliness. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Carefully then how you walk, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. This has been a constant through Scripture from Genesis 3 to Revelation. The days are evil, and they're getting worse. Why does Jesus admonish us in the Lord's Prayer to pray, deliver us from evil? Contrast that with how the world views the world today. Things are getting better. We're evolving. We're socially more adept at justice, this, that. All these hot button topics the world wants you to think. We're getting smarter. We don't need God. We can leave him behind. The Enlightenment was just shown a light on that we don't need God. We have the Enlightenment. We have the ideas of David Hume and philosophers of the day. We can push God aside. And through our democratic ideals, through our equality, through our egalitarianism, we can reach perfection. Not happened. I love how the King James interprets this verse, redeeming the time. Redeeming means to buy up for oneself or to buy up an opportunity. And when the time, it means a season or limited period. So making the most of every opportunity, turning each to its best advantage, since nothing can be relived if missed. Our allotted time on earth is fixed by God. We certainly don't know when it's going to end. Don't be foolish with your time, as Paul admonishes us. Ask yourself, what are you spending your time on? What's taking up your time? Netflix? Facebook, Amazon Prime, gaming, music, hobbies, entertainment, doing what I want, when I want, where I want. Many of these things, there's nothing wrong of themselves in and of themselves. But have they become idols in our heart that captivate us, have us only thinking about that? What are we pursuing with our life? Making money, acquiring stuff, pursuing the American dream, pursuing personal peace and affluence, pursuing power. Again, where is your heart? What is number one on your heart? Look carefully on how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Look carefully on how you walk, making the best use of the time. The next Paul says, look carefully on how you walk, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Talked about this a little bit last time, understanding God's will. And how we said it wasn't until the 18th century that people kind of really understood this. But in the 17th, 18th century, it started to be less God-focused and more me-focused. What does God want for me? What should I do? Should I marry this person or that person? Should I move to this town or that town? Have this job or that job? We should be thinking about what God's will is based upon what God's revealed will already says to us. Living in obedience to Christ. John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Being in the word, 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to one God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Being constantly in prayer, Luke 18, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And being in the house of the Lord, 1 Timothy 4:13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. And also living to further God's kingdom. Paul told the Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven first and foremost and always. I love America. But America has to come second. America may not last forever. God's word, God's kingdom will always be there. Living to further his kingdom, working in his garden, bearing fruit. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Being disciples all of our lives. Jesus said in John 12, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. A disciple is a follower, and a disciple is one who makes other disciples. Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Look carefully then how you walk, making the best use of the time. Look carefully then how you walk, understand what the will of the Lord is. And fourth, look carefully then how you walk, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk with wine. What is Paul getting at here? And I've got to be really careful here not to bind your conscience, because there are other places in scripture where drinking wine is perfectly permissible. But I would caution you, drinking fills you so you can't think properly. What's filling your heart may not just be drinking that he's talking about here, but what is filling your heart, your mind, your soul? And when we do this, we're living recklessly, saying that we are in control of our lives. And also, I would like to say just a warning to church officers. You are always, always on duty. Always on duty. You don't want to get a call at 11 o'clock on a Friday night saying the daughter of a parishioner is in the hospital in a car wreck, and could you come and pray with us and show up inebriated. Just always be in control. Preparing to fill yourself instead with Christ. Paul told his parishioners in Rome. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Being filled with the Spirit. How do we manifest this? Paul gives us three directives to be filled with the Spirit. When you're drinking and driving, you get what we call in the South and Georgia, DUI, driving under the influence. Here we call it DUI, driving while intoxicated. But I like DUI because instead of DUI, we should be LUI, living under the influence, living always under the influence of Christ. And three ways that Paul admonishes us to do this is to, one, addressing other believers in a proper manner. Verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. I know this verse is often used to talk about the regulative principle of worship and singing, but I think it goes much, much deeper than that. Addressing one another in a proper manner. Showing the joy of Christ to all believers, not just the ones that look like you in your social, economic class, your racial class, your job class, however way we segregate, self-segregate and classify ourselves, but looking to all people, all believers, and showing the joy of Christ to the world. Jesus said in John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Second way of being filled with the Spirit is to be thankful to God always and for everything, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was involved in a ministry years ago called Fellowship of Companies for Christ International, FCCI. Came out of Atlanta. I didn't hear about it until I moved up north. But fantastic organization for business people to get together and pray and study the scriptures and just practice sound biblical principles in their businesses. It's designed for CEOs and chief executives and key people in business. And really fired up about the ministry. It's a fantastic ministry. It's still going on. I was talking to a friend of mine once that was a believer, and I said, you know, would you consider coming into it? And he says, oh, you guys are, everything's so good with you guys. You should try living when things are tough. And he was having some struggle in his business, not through any fault of his own, just the economy was down. But he had a really good point. It's that it's so easy to follow God and give thanks to God and be for everything thankful when things are going good. But for instance, as a businessman, if you're having trouble making payroll, having trouble getting inventory, having trouble with your employees, hard to be thankful when your children are unruly and your children are wayward. That's hard saying, God, I don't understand what you're doing, and it's not pleasant, but how can I be thankful in this? How can I grow in this? How can I love you in this? How can you be glorified in this? Which brings us to the next point, submitting to each other out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to each other out of reverence for Christ. Submitting is a key principle. And we're going to address this much more in the following passages on husbands and wives, children and parents, and they call it bond servants and masters. We're in the workplace. How do we submit to each other? This idea of submission is so countercultural, so unwise today. It involves two things. It involves submitting to each other first and foremost, though. It means we must submit to Christ. Submit to God. Submit to his authority. Submit to his will. Submit to his word. Submit to the station where he's placed us. By that, I mean, not that that was so abused in previous centuries where the Brits would say, you were born in this social class, you can't climb out of it. We don't believe that. But when somebody is in a situation where their child is wayward, that's really hard to submit to God in that. Really hard to submit when your parents are dying. Harder to submit when your children may have a terminal disease. Hard to submit when you have a sister who's married to an alcoholic. How do you glorify God in that? How do you submit to that? Knowing that in anything and everything, Christ will always be glorified and all things are being done for his glory and for your sanctification. Belief without submission to God, that's a Christless Christianity, dry, empty. And on the same hand, service and submission to others without Christ, that's an incomplete act of love. We need to be showing the love of Christ to others as we submit. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Look carefully then how you walk, making the best use of the time. Look carefully then how you walk, understanding what the will of the Lord is. And look carefully then how you walk, be filled with the Spirit. We're each given 10,080 minutes a week. 10,080 minutes a week. How are we using them? What are we pursuing with them? We use about 90 of them here at church. Are we seeking a life of walking carefully? Are we pursuing a life of walking carefully? Are we spending time at the feet of Christ? Like I said earlier, we've just scratched the surface on this. There's much we can be meditating on and praying about this week. But just some practical thoughts as we close. Look carefully then how you walk. When you walk, watch where you step. First of all, I said, make sure you're awake, awake, O sleeper, but then watch where you step. I often like to walk at night. I'm in the wintertime. I try to walk 10,000 steps a day, about 4 miles. But in the wintertime, you know, I have as many hours in the daylight, so I got to walk on the road at night. You got to be really careful. Wear a reflective vest, have a headlight, but watching where you step. If you got little kids at home, if you're walking through their bedroom at night, that's like negotiating the minefields of the Battle of the Bulge. I mean, just those Legos, they're deadly to step on. Remember what Paul said in verse 8, walking in as children of the light. What's the light we have? We have the light of Christ. We have the light of the gospel. The psalmist said in Psalm 56:13, for you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Look carefully then how you walk and walk in the light. Remember what that main theme was, Ephesians, when we started this book back in March. That two-word phrase that's mentioned 34 times in this book that I've beaten into your heads every time. You probably thought I was going to get by this week without saying it because I didn't start with it. But it's living in Christ, not in our own strength, not in our own power, but living in Christ. Look carefully then how you walk. And are we living submissive lives, submitted to God, submitted to his will for our lives, submitted to his moral law, putting his glory above ours, zealous for his kingdom, submitting to each other, putting others before ourselves, not waiting until we should or need to or have to come to submit to others. You ever be in a situation where you know you should do something and you get an elbow in your side from your wife and say, you should be doing that. Remember Sinclair Ferguson was at a banquet and they watched a waitress drop a tray of dishes and Sinclair Ferguson said, it would be nice if somebody would help her out. And the person next to him said, well, you could be the one that does that. You have to wait. You know, Christ healed a lot of people. And often they came to him and asked for healing, or people were brought to him and asked to heal. And there's a passage in Matthew where he heals a man with a withered hand. And I don't think the withered man, it says, stood up in the middle of the synagogue and said, Jesus, heal me. Christ looked and saw a man with a withered hand and healed him without being asked, looking for ways to submit to the Father, looking for ways to submit to each other. Remembering the words of Christ, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. That's submission. This passage is a mirror, or like a mirror, it's a metaphor. What does your life look like? If you hold this passage up and look at it, what do you see? Are you walking in wisdom? Are you walking in foolishness? Are you using your time in pursuit of God's kingdom and his glory? Or squandering your days in idleness and dissipation? Are you being filled with God's Spirit? Or is your life empty of his presence? We don't need to have the pedigree or the past experiences of a Moses or a David or an Esther or a Paul or a Mary Magdalene. This passage is more than a mirror, in that right now, we are commanded to follow, not at some future point, but right now, here where we are. When God chose Moses, or Mary Magdalene, or Esther, or David, or Paul, where were they? Where were they? Did they go to prep school? They go to Harvard, they go to a prestigious university, seminary, and then God says, you know, when you finish here, I'm going to use you, and I'll have you start following me then. He found Mary Magdalene possessed by seven demons. He called Paul when Paul was breathing out murderous threats on the road to Damascus, put in prison those who followed the way. He called Moses when he was on his road to becoming the next Pharaoh. He called David when he was just a shepherd, a nobody, tending sheep. Not at some point in the future, but right now, right here, where we are, in humble obedience and submission to Christ, in dependence upon his Spirit, asking him for wisdom, seeking daily, moment by moment, to use our time wisely, working for our King, for his kingdom, and for his glory. Our Father and our God, may we seek that always. May you awake us out of our sleep. Teach us to look carefully how we walk. Give us wisdom to always follow you. Help us to always make the best use of our time. Not that we can't have enjoyment in life, but dissipation, idleness, revelries, not to be our manner of life. Us to look carefully how we walk, understanding what your will is, to follow you and what you've already revealed to us, to obey your word, Oh, please give us a fresh infilling of your Spirit. May this be our prayer today. May this be our prayer tomorrow and the next day and the next, for as many days as you've ordained for us on this earth. In your precious Son's name, who bled for us, we pray. Amen.